Good morning. My name is Stacy Weldley Wade, and I'm from Missoula, Montana, here representing the appellant Mark Kowak. And I would like to reserve at least 2 minutes, if possible, for rebuttal after the other side has had an opportunity to speak. I apologize in advance. I've got a cold, so my voice is a little bit ragged. This case is really very straightforward, a Freedom of Information Act case. Obviously, as your honors are well aware, the general rule is full disclosure unless one or more of the exceptions apply.
But we've read the unless pretty broadly.
That is correct. However,
essentially, your client would like to know what these people said during the investigation. And the other side is saying, if we tell you that, you'll know who they are, and that makes public, and that compromises them and compromises the investigation. That's the nub of the argument, right?
That is the nub of the argument, absolutely. It is our position, however, though, that even though broadly construed, Exemption 6, which frankly, the bulk of the materials that have been withheld by the Forest Service, the bulk of them were withheld under Exemption 6, which is the personnel record, personal information. But I think it's significant that even though it has been broadly construed by the Ninth Circuit, the similar files, it has to be disclosure of such information which would constitute a clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy.
Let me ask you first, it's a two-step process. One, is it a personnel file or a similar file? Do you think that accident witness statements are part of the personal file of the person who gives it?
Actually, there is no evidence on the record. There's been no statement made by the Forest Service that any of these materials were made part of the employee's personnel files at all.
Because when an incident is investigating and they take statements from several witnesses, I don't know of any evidence that those witness statements find their way into that person's personnel file.
That is correct, Your Honor. And what I think is important here is that in this case, it's the Forest Service that has the burden of proof.
But these statements don't have to find their way into the personnel file to be considered.
No, they do not. I mean, but what is important is the statute says personnel or medical or similar file. In this particular case, this was an investigation of government workers' conduct on government property in a government program. And what is really important here is that this is a program for civilian disadvantaged youths. And so to the extent that there is an investigation of what's going on, these people working and engaged in their official business really have no expectation of privacy as to what they are doing as a part of their jobs. This is not a medical file. This is not necessarily a disciplinary action. We have never requested and never insisted on the disclosure of these names of these people. However, what is important is that the rules clearly say that...
cell phones, right?
Pardon me?
Or the cell phone.
Or the cell phone, or their addresses, or anything else like that. But what is really significant here is that there was no attempt by the Forest Service to really segregate out or tell why they could not segregate out the factual content of the investigation. And I think it's also very important to note that my client, a very long-term teacher at the Forest Service, submitted his complaint not only because he was concerned for his own safety and well-being, but because he was concerned for the safety and well-being of the students. And when he got the report for which he made his FOIA request, the cover letter from the chief indicated that an investigation had been conducted and that there was no substantiation for the allegations. There were three things being investigated: workplace violence, threats, and also negative and harassing work culture. And this is important in this setting. These are students who live on campus 24/7.
But how could you segregate out the factual content that you're talking about without giving the public the knowledge as to who these workers were? Because there are only four of them, weren't there? I mean, they'd be pretty well identified pretty soon.
There were four, that is true. But in terms of their observations of conduct in a public setting, that would not necessarily identify any given one of them. But here's what also is interesting. As I said, the chief, and for the record, the chief's letter says, the investigation did not substantiate the allegations, therefore the investigation has been closed. We asked for the FOIA report. When we got it, first of all, we only got part of it. We had to threaten lawsuits to get the second part, and then when we finally got it, what is significant is that statement is not borne out by their own record. And if I could reference in excerpt of record volume 2 at page 86, this is their own report, they made the finding that there is, in fact, a negative work culture. But what's also interesting is that then they don't provide any information. On finding number 1 and finding number 2, hostile work environment and threats, they have painstakingly carved out some factual information. It is quite limited. But the excerpt of record, for example, on page, I believe it's 50 and 54, demonstrate that. But when it comes to the one section of the report that they did find was substantiated, all of a sudden we are not provided any information whatsoever. Nothing was carved out.
If you started a lawsuit, these statements of the witnesses would be given you, correct?
That's correct.
What you're trying to vindicate is not your individual's right to compensation. What you're trying to vindicate is the public's right to know. Why should the public care about whether there's fighting among four people in the center?
Your Honor, the public wouldn't necessarily be interested in knowing about infighting. However, the allegations that are in the record substantiate that there was behavior, very aggressive behavior by one of these instructors, and that students were present. And in the materials that were provided, the chief's own anti-harassment policy indicated that center directors were absolutely directed that they should, anytime a complaint was issued, they should immediately investigate. And that's the one of the points of this FOIA investigation. The public does have the right to know whether its center directors are, in fact, following policy to prevent potential damage to the students or even to other workers or other employees. And what is clear is all of that information, it is clear here that all of that information has been withheld from us. The center director was interviewed. None of that information has been provided to us. Based on what we do know, my client, Mark Kowak, went to the center director in December of 2008. Nothing was done. It took him until he contacted Senator Max Baucus, and Senator Max Baucus's office then contacted the office in Washington before any investigation took place. That was a year later. Even though the center director,
you have a FOIA case, and you're complaining about the substance of the investigation. There are separate issues. One has to do with disclosure. Your client's unhappiness with the investigation is not proper subject of. How is it relevant to the FOIA claim?
The reasons it's relevant to the FOIA claim is because we've not been provided the information. If you take a look, and
that's your claim. This is why you're here. You claim that this is should have been disclosed on the FOIA. This would be true whether your client was happy with the investigation or not happy with the investigation. I don't see how
Absolutely.
How going to Senator Baucus or not going to, you know, how does any of that bear on this issue that we have before us?
It bears on the right of the public to know. The Forest Service has made the claim that, as was point, you know, suggested, that perhaps, you know, this is just some infighting and nobody has a right to know. That's not true. The center director was mandated to do an investigation. As far as we have been able to tell in what was provided, that didn't happen. Now, maybe it was there, but again, the investigation was type of this, here's the investigation, wasn't substantiated, closed. We ask for the record.
This goes to the public interest factor?
Correct, correct. And and that is, I think, the defects, if you will, and in the brief we discuss it. There were defects in the Vaughan Index. The, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing it, but in the Yamamoto decision, this court basically said that the Vaughan Index must identify each withheld document, describe its contents to the extent possible, and give a particularized explanation of why each document falls within the claimed exception. And they're supposed to provide as much detail as possible. And then for each document, they are to explain, if they can't segregate out the factual portion, why not. And I would submit that, number one, that was not done. There are groupings of 22 pages of documents where, if you look at the record, I mean, complete blackout.
Point out, is it an excerpt?
Yes. If you, for example, would look at, this is excerpt of record, volume 2, page 90.
Okay.
And this is what's interesting. Now, this has to do with allegation 3 that was being investigated.
It looks like something, a letter from prison.
Pardon me?
It looks like a letter from prison.
It does. I mean, we have no idea what was there. But this is under negative work culture.
Maybe from the Army in World War II, right?
Under the negative work culture, this is the area.
Why didn't you pick page 91?
Well, I was going to say, you can look at page 91 as well. You can look at page 92.
But page 91 has nothing but blackouts.
93, 94, 95. I mean,
as to each of those, they said exemption 6 applies because it would cause, I think, embarrassment, shame, stigma, and harassment, right? And that's exactly the ground upon which we held in Yamamoto, as to emails 4 and emails 10, that they should not be produced. So why doesn't that apply here?
Well, for a couple of reasons. Number one, in Yamamoto, at least there was an identify, and actually the Ninth Circuit was very critical in Yamamoto of the fact that there was some deletion because it said some medical issue involved. But this court was very critical because they said, while at first glance a medical issue might seem on its face to be a personal privacy matter, because the Vaughan Index did not disclose the specific nature of what the medical condition was.
There is no medical condition. It's just the embarrassment is to the workers who gave statements regarding the bickering and harassment and fighting that occurred in the workplace. They didn't want to be singled out.
But, Your Honor, the problem is here is that it is up to the Forest Service to identify the privacy interest here. They have not even identified what is the privacy nature of.
The privacy interest is the embarrassment, shame, stigma, and harassment of being involved in a workplace dispute.
Actually, that wasn't what was being investigated. It wasn't a workplace dispute. What was being investigated, and which frankly,
workplace culture, harassment in the culture.
True, but at the a privacy interest in on the job conduct in a public setting, Your Honor, is not the kind of privacy issue that would be contained, for example, in a medical file or in a personnel file. and I think this is very specific, perhaps as to the underlying employees, but all of the information with regard to the center director was similarly, who does not have that same right of privacy. It was her responsibility to make sure that she complied with the anti-harassment policy. And that simply, and yet we have no basis, Your Honor, because of the lack of information that was provided, to know what is in the record.
So what are you asking by way of relief?
In way of relief, we are asking that with regard to the witness statements and with regard to the report, that portion that can be segregated out as facts, the factual portion of what they observed.
I don't think you heard my question. We don't do that, you know. I'm asking you what you want us to do. What do you want by way of relief?
We would ask,
okay,
Your Honor.
So you don't want us to take the stuff and look at it and do all the stuff. Okay, so did you hear my question?
We would like.
Do you understand the question?
Yes, I do, Your Honor.
Okay, will you answer the question?
We would like it remanded back to the district court with instructions that the Forest Service be required to do a proper.
So you want a redo of the Vaughan Index?
Redo of the Vaughan Index, but also that if the Vaughan, that the materials that were provided, if the factual portion can be exercised out without identifying names, addresses, or any of that kind
excised.
Of stuff.
Exercise is what you do.
Excuse me,
what you do out there on the trail.
that information be provided. We are also asking, Your Honor, that in the event that that does take place, that my client be awarded his attorney's fees, reasonable amount of attorney's fees.
I'm glad you added that. That's sure that's a very important part of the case.
It is. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll hear from the government. What would the fees be under? Is it the EAJA fees?
Pardon me?
This is equal access EAJA fees? The fees would come under what?
I believe under the Freedom of Information Act, yes, it provides for an
award. Oh, it has a specific statute?
Yes, it does. It does.
Fair sheet. Okay.
May it please the Court, George Dara with the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Montana, appearing on behalf of the United States Forest Service. At issue, obviously, in this case is the redaction of 48 pages of the report of investigation that was done in this matter. I think it's important to identify there were five specific categories identified within those 48 pages. 22 pages involved witness statements made to the investigator.
By statements? By witnesses?
By witnesses, correct. 17 pages were routine documents that were gathered by the investigator, which basically included summaries of the witness statements. His recommendations.
Well, we do know what was exercised, or the nature of the thing is exercised, but why is that justified? How have you justified? Talk about Exemption 6 in particular.
Thank you, Your Honor. My point was that I believe the crux of this case is the witness statements, which were withheld under Exemption 6. Exemption 6 pertains to personnel files, medical files, or similar files. And under the Washington Post case.
Well, even if you get there, let's say we say these are similar files, you still have a balancing to do.
Correct.
Okay. And how have you identified the public policy? How have you identified the factors that go into the balancing?
Well, we identified the individual's right to privacy, as Judge Bea indicated, as the identity of the individuals interviewed is no secret. It was specifically disclosed in the Vaughan Index that the people interviewed were the four individuals that work in the Education Department, which included Mr. Kovac, the Service Center Director, and two other employees.
Okay, so if you identify the individuals, doesn't that – I mean, it's one thing to say, look, we're not going to provide the statements because that would identify the individuals. But once you've identified the individuals, what's your argument for not disclosing the statements?
The individuals would be subjected to they provided candid, personal, and individualized complaints with each other.
Well, that's a fact, but how does that – it's one thing to say, look, these are secret, you know, these are confidential people. We don't know – nobody knows who they are. When we give you the statements, they will say things that will disclose your identity. Right? But I don't But you're saying we know who the individuals are. We're going to hide what they told us. What does that, where is our privacy interest in that, in having statements statements withheld as opposed to identity? Identity, I understand, but you've already given up identity. How do you justify withholding the statements?
Well, the statements would subject him to embarrassment, ridicule, inner office disputes.
How do we know that? You say that, but what is it here that persuades me that that's true? That persuades, has a judge looked, has anybody looked at it other than your client? To, you know, do we take your word for it? I mean, maybe the statements are, I don't know, I never heard, I never saw, you know. How do we know this?
The Vaughn Index.
And what does the Vaughn Index say?
A declaration that was submitted to the court.
Okay, point me out where I'm excerpts. Let's walk through it.
In the excerpts of records, and I think it would be on pages.
You don't have to think. You can give me a page.
Page 29 and 30.
29 and 30. Okay. Okay, I'm there. And what is it on page 29 and 30?
Where the individual that reviewed
paragraph
the
number
responsive records withheld pursuant to FOI.
I'm sorry, you're reading from which page?
On page, page 128 of the excerpts of record.
You just said 29 and 30.
Sorry, it was 120, 128, 129, 130.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, what?
She particularly identified.
128, 129, which yeah. One?
Well, it starts at the page 128 and goes over to page 129.
All right, so give me a page number and a paragraph number.
Paragraph 34 at the bottom of page 129 talks about the first category of records and witness interviews. It talks about the six statements ranging from 3 to 5 pages, each total 22 pages. Personal privacy interests of six individuals who submitted the statements in cooperation with the investigation are significant. These individuals were specifically identified. I don't want to read the whole thing, but
read me the part that matters. I mean, read me the part that will persuade me of your point. Not the whole thing. You said it's in here, so talk to me about what it is in here that that supports the claim that disclosing the statements would subject them to embarrassment.
Because the statements reflect very candid, personal, and individualized complaints and grievances that employees raised concerning their work conditions, co-workers, and management.
Okay.
The accounts and incidents described in the witness statements are so detailed, disclosing them would lead to the identification of the employees given the small size of the office that was interviewed.
But you've already said that we know who the employees are. So the fact that I understand the argument, look, we don't know who these people are, but once they talk, their statement will tell us who they are because only certain people know this information. I understand that. But you've already given that away. Because we already know who the individuals are. Okay? What is it about this that persuades me, or, you know, can persuade anybody, that in fact, anything they have said will subject them to all these things?
Well, this is the statement that was made by somebody who has reviewed those statements, and this is what the declaration
I see. So we take the word of somebody who has reviewed the statement. We don't have any obligation to review it ourselves. They don't get a chance to cross-examine, or they don't get a chance to look at the statement and dispute it.
That's correct.
And what is it that this person says? I mean, it says it leads to the identification, but what is it that they say here about embarrassment and all this stuff?
Just what she has there.
Well, what? Which words?
Where is the word embarrassment?
Yeah.
On page 130, I don't see any claim that the content of these statements will subject the statement giver to embarrassment. Let me get the words out of Yonarada. Embarrassment, shame, stigma, and harassment. That's the language that Judge Berzon used in Yonarada as to email 4. Where's that here?
Yeah.
I can't cite you.
All it says that is that they're candid, individualized complaints, and they will lead to identification of the employees who you've told us are already identified.
Right.
Next.
Yeah.
So why don't you lose at this point?
Well, first of all, what was done in this case was the plaintiffs asked for an in-camera inspection. Judge Malloy denied that motion, ordered the government to submit the Vaughn Index. Following,
you know, we've reversed Judge Malloy before. He's a great guy and big guy, but, you know, we've done it before.
But that's fine.
So why isn't this another instance where we send it back to Judge Malloy and say, give us a do-over? You are here, just saying, you know, you've told us what the standard is. You've pointed out the part of the record that you think supports it. You haven't come up with anything that supports it. So why isn't this the time for you to say, okay, well, sorry, we'll take it back to Judge Malloy and try to do a do-over?
First of all, I don't want to be on the record as conceding, because Judge Malloy determined from looking at the Vaughn Index that it was particularized, that it was identified, what these statements.
Well, we can't let you go off the record. Sorry. Whatever you say will be on the record.
Well, no,
but I'm asking you, you're standing there, you're presenting the United States, okay? The United States. And, you know, you've got to be straight with us. And what is it that supports the judgment here? I mean, if you know, we have a standard, it's set out in Yamamoto. You say, here we've got evidence of this. We know Judge Malloy hasn't looked at it. We know he didn't say, oh, yes, I've seen these statements, and boy, would these employees be red-faced if they, if anybody knew they made these statements. So we don't have a judicial officer or anybody. So you say, oh, well, no, trust us. You know, we've got a guy who looked at them, and, you know. So we look at his statement. His statement doesn't say it either. So let's say I really wanted to help the United States here. I really wanted to rule in your favor. How would I write an opinion saying that?
Well,
how would I justify it? What would I say that would, you know, sort of wouldn't get me reversed by the Supreme Court or embarrassed or in the blogosphere or anything like that?
In Yamamoto, the court did determine that the Vaughn Index was not particularized and remanded it back to the district court for further findings.
So are you suggesting that's what we do here?
No, I'm not. I don't want to make that recommendation, say that we're conceding. But
I know you. I know you prefer not to. But the question is, what basis in the record do you have for saying anything else? If you want to say nothing further, you can sit down. But I'm not giving you a chance to sort of say something that supports your position.
Your Honor, I would just say that one of the options is to remand it back for an in-camera review, if Judge Malloy wants to look at it. He has the discretion to do an in-camera review. Or feel if there's a sufficient information that's been made available to him to apply.
What's the big deal here? Why not just provide information? I don't get it.
You have a small workforce. I mean, the entire Job Corps has 62 employees. You had four people working in education department that, based on the complaint, it was obvious, don't get along.
But, you know, FOIA is all about, is not about saving embarrassment of government employees. FOIA is exactly what's passed specifically to counter the tendency of government agencies to hide the ball, particularly when it's embarrassing to the people running the show. That's what was passed for. If you go back and you look at I forget when it was passing, 43 or something. It was a long time ago, but that was the whole thing. Government agency would, people would ask for records of information from government agencies. They say, no, we don't want to disclose. And the reason they don't want to disclose it is it would embarrass us. We don't like to have the public look at it because, it would embarrass us. And that's exactly the wrong reason to, so what? You know, it's different if you say, oh, this is something that would disclose personal information about them. I mean, if there are statements that say, look, I am, this is not this case, but, you know, I have a loathsome disease or, you know, I've got, something personal that would be embarrassing. It's different if in fact it involves somebody's trade secret. You know, there are categories of things where there are legitimate reasons to keep it secret, but just being embarrassed is not a reason.
The balancing test is the individual's protection of right to privacy versus the public's right to.
Is there a right to privacy in statements you make in a government investigation about your government job? Since when is there a right to privacy in that?
What is the public's interest in knowing that two employees don't get along with each other?
The public's interest is in knowing whether or not this service is being run by a bunch of bullies and whether people are being fired because they're doing their job well. I think the public would have every interest in knowing that, whether they are, in fact, if there is a culture, if there is a culture of violence that's going on and that's being tolerated by people paid for by the taxpayers, I would think this would be of immense interest to the public.
But there was never an allegation of wrongful discharge. Anybody was discharged. And I get that.
I didn't say anything about wrongful discharge. The claim is, look, there's a culture of violence here, and that's the claim. And apparently the report says that there's a culture of violence. And so we're running this program at government expense, at taxpayer expense, that, you know, according to at least one view of it, is promoting violence, and it would be sort of like having a prison violence. I mean, let's say this is not this case, but let's say you had a prison, and it turns out you had a report that said the guards beat up and demand sexual favors of their inmates. I would think that that's the kind of thing the public would want to know about, because they want to know whether to fund the prisons or whether they ought to change the personnel practice and so on. Why isn't this exactly this case? Why wouldn't the public maybe be outraged and say this ought to be, this service, the way this program is being run ought to be reconsidered? Isn't that exactly what your clients are trying to protect themselves against? Public pressure from and criticism? And isn't that exactly what FOIA was meant to avoid or to counteract?
May I ask you a question? Sure. What's your response to opposing counsel's suggestion that even if the names aren't revealed, if there are factual statements that are made, those could be disclosed without compromising the identity of the person giving the statement?
Again, you know, getting back to the declaration where the declarant who's reviewed these documents basically says there are candid descriptions that relate to how they feel about co-employees, the service director. The service director's statement obviously had comments about what she feels about employees.
So if the employee states what he or she feels about the director, how does that identify the person who gave the statement?
I think it's so small, and I think there's very specific comments being made. It would be easily identifiable who that individual is.
I mean, we're talking about four people. You say that, but if somebody, for example, says, I hate the director because he's a bully, I'm not saying, I don't know what the statements say, so I don't want to be understood as, I mean, I don't know. I've never seen them. But let's say somebody says that. How would you know which of the four it is? The only thing that would be embarrassing is the idea that you know that somebody of the four said it. Right?
Again, I just think that it's such a small identifiable group that it's going to be it would be virtually impossible not to know who said what.
Which one of the statements? And what do you have to support that? I can imagine that could be the case. Let's say one of them only speaks Spanish. You know, I'm just giving it as an example. Maybe from the statements you can deduce who said it because of phrasing or something like that, but it's just a guess. Yeah. And you don't know. As a matter of fact, you're just making it up because you don't know what the statements are either, right?
Maybe he does.
Maybe you do. I don't remember. Were you involved in...
No.
So you don't really know what the statements are.
They did produce to our office the redacted portions and the full portions of the...
I'm asking whether you personally know.
Yes.
You do know.
Yes.
Now, your position is, I take it, that the Vaughan Index, which states that focused on the allegations of workplace violence, threatening remarks, and negative workplace culture, were sufficient facts from which the district court could conclude that the revelation of these would cause embarrassment, shame, stigma, and harassment to the people who gave the statements. And that factual determination should be reviewed on an abuse of discretion basis. Is that your idea?
The First, there's a two-prong standard review. The first, the court determines de novo whether the district court's ruling has an actual factual basis. I believe that's a de novo review.
Then if it's a de novo review, would you kindly point out to me, counsel, where there is any factual basis for embarrassment, shame, stigma, and harassment, which were the requirements in Yanomoto for granting Exemption 6?
Your Honor, quickly off the top of my head, I referred you to the page that I could readily. I believe in our briefs we also referred to them and made reference to the excerpt of the records where it can be found.
Okay, thank you. Your time's
thank you.
Up. I believe you had some rebuttal time left. I think you have a minute 44.
Thank you.
Unless it turns red. Oh, is that negative numbers? We'll give you a minute. We'll make it a minute. How about that?
I just wanted to point out that Your Honor's point is well taken. If you look at excerpt record volume 2, page 79, and also page 80, the Forest Service has already specifically identified by name the individuals at the Trapper Creek Job Service who were to be interviewed. So in terms of their identities, it's taking an inconsistent position. It can't on the one hand say we're protecting these people because their identities may be revealed. I reveal the identities and then say, well.
I think we understand the point. Let me ask you about attorney's fees. If we should reverse, you wouldn't get fees now, would you? We don't award fees because you haven't had an ultimate victory.
That is correct. In Yanomoto, the Ninth Circuit made a suggestion to the district court that a fee should be considered if in fact, the Forest Service is ordered.
But you have to get ultimate victory.
Correct.
To get a fee. So there's nothing we can do. We can, and that's another issue for another day.
That is correct, Your Honor.
But you're preserving your right to request fees.
That is correct, Your Honor. We've had to take two legal battles.
I understand. I just want.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I got another point to make.
The other point I'd like to make is that the Forest Service's position is inconsistent in that all of my client's information, his detailed statement, everything that he submitted was clearly set forth on the record. There was no redaction whatsoever. And I think it's entirely, if in fact my client as an employee had a right of privacy, he had the same right of privacy that the other individuals who were also employees did. And yet everything with regard to my client was completely disclosed. There was no redaction. Other statements made by other people were completely disclosed. So this picking and choosing, when we're at a disadvantage, we have no idea what is being hid. And the affidavit is not sufficiently detailed to even be able to guess what is being withheld. So it's.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, case of argument submitted.